Today is Low Sunday, and it is also the celebration of our Father Superior's 50th priestly anniversary. You can see the programs in the vestibule for today's schedule. There will not be blessing of articles after Mass. Schedule for Father Anthony Ward's 50th anniversary of his ordination to the Holy Priesthood is this: blessings of the people by Father Ward for those who did not receive his blessing on Friday. This will take place after the Mass today. And then after this, we will go over to the Garden of the Gods Resort and Club at 1 p.m. That's where the reception is. There will be no benediction this evening. There are some feasts this week which bear mentioning. Today, April 16th, is coincidentally one of our Father Superior's favorite saints, Saint Benedict Joseph Labere. On Friday is the feast of Saint Anselm, and on Saturday is the feast of Saints Soter and Caius. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. John's first epistle. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ, not in the water only, but in the water and in the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger, and see my hands, and bring here thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May it please your reverence, fathers, brothers, mothers and sisters, and brethren. Before we begin, we have to fulfill our grave obligation of talking a little bit about this heaven on earth. This is something that you will not see anywhere on earth except here. Our sisters, our Carmelites, have spent all of their lives assisting in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass as the center of their life. And a major part of that is preparing, creating these vestments. They've been doing this now since the very beginning, and they have perfected it so exactly, so perfectly, that we can confidently say these are the most beautiful set of vestments ever on earth. Maybe they have something nicer in heaven. It is phenomenal. This was a gift that they have been working on now for many years. And so they gave it to Father on his 50th priestly anniversary. And it's just overwhelming. They have so perfected their art. There's very little that can be said about it that comes close to what it is in reality. So we all owe them a great debt of gratitude for their work. for their dedication. Next, we have to thank God for this privilege of being up here speaking to you on this occasion of our Father Superior's 50th anniversary, a privilege which we don't even come close to being worthy of. And we don't say that out of false humility. It's such an honor. So we thank God and we thank our Father Superior for permitting us to do this. We are here first of all in this chapel for the sake of God. We're here to love and honor God on this day, Low Sunday, and that comes first. And so, you know, there are many forms of prayer, and the most important one on this particular day for all of us is to thank God. We all have a great obligation, and this is what this day is all about, to thank God for all of the countless, infinite blessings we have received from God, through our Father Superior. When we came to the seminary nearly 50 years ago, we thanked God that we had finally met a true priest. That's what we did. And so he trained us for many years in preparation for the priesthood. And one of the things that he taught us, and he mentioned it many times during those years, was that one thing you do not do is to give a eulogy at a funeral. But thank God, we thought, this is not a funeral, and so we can give a eulogy. And then, much to our disappointment, a few days ago, our Father Superior read our mind, and he said to us, "You will not be giving a eulogy on my anniversary." So we have to accede to his wishes. And so we start out by saying that we thank God for sending us this priest. Where would we be without him? In the midst of this greatest apostasy in the history of the world, we can truly say that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. No doubt about it. The confusion of almost everyone and the, we can say, despair is everywhere. Who on this earth, apart from us, is not totally lost, no compass. Even the so-called Catholics, and of course there are many Catholics who have the faith and they are still lost, because they do not have what we have. They don't have all of the truth. Our priest has not only trained us and taught all of us all of the doctrines and the dogmas of faith. Dogmatic theology has taught it to all of us. He has taught us moral theology, mystical theology, philosophy. So now we all know God. We know God intimately, and we know Him like no one else. And we know the truth. We know reality. We have something no one else has. Thanks be to God. Even in the traditional world, there is great confusion and much worse. Many, if not all, of even the traditional Catholics are being led down a path to where they should not be going. We pray for them. We hope things will work out differently than they appear to be going. But here we are, and we have pretty much everything we need. At the very beginning of our community, many years ago, it was on the Feast of the Holy Family. That was the first day of our existence. And we were almost completely on the street. But we had the faith, and we had Father. And so He called us together and said that because we, at least some of us who had some understanding of reality, had asked Him to start a community. And thank God He had the wisdom and the bravery to start our community. And inspired by the Holy Ghost, we believe, He said to us that since this was the Feast of the Holy Family, and we think this was inspiration, you may not think that, we do. It's the Holy Ghost. Because this is the Feast of the Holy Family, we should call our community after the Holy Family. They should be our patrons, and be called, he didn't say these exact words at that time, but servants of the Holy Family. That's what we would be. It seems very simple, but who would have thought of that except God? Now we have the three of the greatest patrons in heaven watching over us: our Blessed Mother, Mother of God, our Lord and Savior, Son of God. He's our patron in heaven. And His virginal Father. How can we lose with them in heaven watching over us. We can't. We will win. And so, on this day, it was suggested to us that we should speak to everyone about the priesthood. And what a day to speak about the priesthood. The day that we were given the sacrament of penance. And it's all about faith this day. So, what do we have to say about the priesthood? Not often we get to speak about it, or have the occasion to speak about it, but we think that it is important because our Lord and Savior said to us, and by us we mean priests, before anyone else he was speaking to, and he intended these words first of all for his priests. He said, "You shall be holy because I am holy." That's what he said to his priests. After our Blessed Mother, there is no one in creation as high and as exalted as a priest. It is the greatest, most precious gift that God the Father and God the Holy Ghost gave after our Blessed Mother, that they gave to the Son. Priests. The Son of God said to his priests on one occasion, he said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." And then, on another occasion, he said to his priests, first, and he was talking especially to his priests, he said to them, "You are the light of the world." Exact same words, because priests are alter Christi, other Christs. As a matter of fact, sacred scripture and many saints have called, and this is true, we're not making this up, they call priests redeemers. That's what priests are. So you'll say, why do they call priests redeemers? There's only one redeemer. Correct. Only one redeemer. But we are part of him. There's only one priesthood. But we are part of it. This is how important priests are. It's impossible to estimate the value of a priest. So we have these mysteries that we will not understand for all eternity. They are so deep, so profound. The Blessed Trinity, revealed to us by the Son of God when he was here, and the redemption is what he gave us. Our Redeemer. And what would have happened to this knowledge of the Blessed Trinity and the redemption? What would have happened to all of the things that Christ told us and that he did for us to redeem us? What would have happened to all of those things if there were no priests? Would anything have happened after that, after he went back to heaven? if there were just lay people trying to spread the word without the holy sacrifice of the Mass? Where would we be? Without our sins being forgiven, what would happen to us? There would be no faith. As a matter of fact, there wouldn't really be any church. We have 12 apostles, our first priests. Everything comes through them. Where would we be if they couldn't offer the holy sacrifice and give God to all of you, to all of us? And we have 4 evangelists, 4 priests. If we didn't have these 4 priests, the Protestants would be even more lost than they are now. This is how much we depend upon priests. We would have nothing without them. Our Lord and Savior said this to his priests. You'll see how priestly it is. To you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. The glory which thou hast given me, he's talking to his Father now. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them. That they may be one as we also are one. I and them, and thou and me. That they may be made perfect in one. Priests are also called firstborn sons. Isn't that beautiful? It is said that by theologians that there is only one lineage, royal lineage in the priesthood. And so, because we are all so tied to Christ, so much a part of him, that we have the same priests, have the same royal lineage as Christ himself. So we have the identity between us, between priests and Christ. How can we ever doubt that they are one? When the priest offers the holy sacrifice, what does he say? This is my blood. Those are the words of the priest. This is my blood. The priests represent God himself. And it is not only in his priesthood, but it is in his kingship. He says, I give to you, first priests, as my Father has given to me, a kingdom. So priests are not only alter Christus, but they are kings. And they rule. They judge. They are judges. They are monarchs. We see this perfectly expressed and seen in a great saint like Saint Pius X. We can say truly he ruled the world. everything depended on him. We still depend on him now, over 100 years later, because of all that he did for the world, for us especially. They are rulers. The judgments of priests are eternal. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. The judgments of the priests coincide exactly with those of God. That's how great the priesthood is. Our Blessed Mother, Mother of God, is made by God as much as possible exactly like himself. She is the mirror image of God. In whatever way he could make her perfect, he did it. So not only does the Son of God look like his mother, but she is like God. And so we say that she loves, just as we say about God, she loves everyone enough, but some she loves more. And more than anyone else, she loves priests, because they are the image of her Son. She loves priests. And just to be absolutely certain that this was set in stone for all mankind, from the cross, the Son of God said to his mother, referring to the priest who was there. So he was speaking, first of all, about the priests. He said, "Behold thy Son." We find that very moving, that she is our mother. And of course, the devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows comes from our Father Superior. How much we all depend on Our Lady of Sorrows, because God inspired him with the love of his mother. And then he gave it to us. Our Lady of Sorrows. She loves priests more than anyone. We think that even if a young man or a boy had no other inkling of becoming a priest, that just one fact, this one great love, should move him to desire the priesthood. If for no other reason than simply to have his mother love him more than anyone else. Find it very moving that she is our mother. And she loves us that much. Mother of Sorrows. Now we know that we don't keep good track of time. I forgot to look at the clock when we got up here, so we don't know exactly when we started. But we just, before we finish, we want to say that we want to thank God once more for the gifts he has given to our Father Superior. This is all about thanking God because of his stalwart and intrepid spirit, his unbendable will for good, his knowledge which came from God, and his mic drop sermons, which he gives to us constantly. Lastly, for his priestly heart. We know he seems pretty tough, but he's always got a heart, and it's for all of us in a special way. And we are always inspired by this because he has given it to all of us. That's what he has tried to do, at least. So thank God for all that he has given us on this day. May God bless you.